we are going to study the second part of the raising your children in God's way. Raising your children in God's way. Probably we'll go one more session of this. Just for you to know, discipline is a very important thing for disciplining your child. Don't think that discipline is just punishment. I will talk more about it. Disciplining the child is so important, and it's a third reason why the husband and wife go through a divorce. The first most important reason is the adultery. Second one is finance. Third is disciplining child. They don't know how to agree with the disciplining child, and they have a major argument, and they end up in the divorce court. I found this article by a mom who has learned these things from her children. First one, there is no such a thing as child-proofing your house. Second one is your ceiling fan motor is not strong enough to rotate a 42-pound boy wearing pound per pee underwear and a Superman cape hanging by a dog leash. I don't know how he managed to put the dog leash on the fan, but he did. Third, when you hear the toilet flush and the word of uh-oh from your child, it is too late. Did you get that, Melanie? King-size waterbed holds enough water to fill 2,000 square feet house 4 inch deep. I think this is by experience. Always look inside the oven before you turn it on. This is a good one. The spin cycle of the washing machine does not make an earthworm dizzy, but it will, however, make a cat dizzy. No comment. Seventh, cats throw up twice their body weight than when they are dizzy. Last one, when your children are quiet all of a sudden, expect a disaster and get your cleaning supply ready. Would you put up that picture? Is that you, Artie? This child, I think he's the instigator. He will put up the white paint. That's a TV screen. And this kid just went along with the one, his brother. I bet they had a fun. All right, let's get serious. Though it is a tremendous honor and privilege from our Lord to be entrusted with our children, raising them in God's way. But let's face it, it's very challenging. This morning we are going to learn how to shape our children's will with the wisdom that comes from the Lord through this book of Proverbs. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, indeed, we want to raise our children, shape our children's will according to your will, that you may receive all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, you alone. Your word said, anyone lacking in wisdom, simply come with the faith that you will provide it abundantly. So we are asking you to provide us this wisdom to raise our children in your way, through your book. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't think that your children do not know what they are doing when they challenge your parental authority. They do know exactly what they're doing. It does not matter how old they are. See, when a child behaves in a way that they are disrespectful or harmful to himself or others, his hidden purpose is often to verify the stability or boundaries. I was told by the leaders and authors of the child psychologies or the child books authority, and they said their children feel assurance of security when their parents hold their authority and leadership firm and confident. The object in the child rearing is not for parents to win the tug of war at all costs. If you do, you may end up not only with a confused and tearful child, but also with a relationship strained beyond repair. Rather, your objective should be to shape the child's will gently yet firmly according to God's way. Let's understand the definition of discipline. Go to Proverbs 13:24, which we just memorized. 13:24, please. I believe this study falls into just about everybody's category. If you have a young children, of course you can use it, and if you have a teenagers, you can use it as well. And the grandparents, grandmas, you can use it as well. He who spared his rod hates his son, and he who loves him disciplines him promptly. According to the Bible, the Word of God, we need to discipline our children as a father in heaven disciplined us. But the child psychologists, including some Christian psychologists, as well as many Bible teachers and pastors across America, disagree with God's word. And they say that if you discipline children, it might harm their self-esteem. What do you think? If they disagree with God, are they right? No. We know better. Since the word discipline is an emotionally charged word and generally misunderstood, we need to make sure some of the clarification and clarify the concept. First thing I find is between abuse and discipline. Between abuse and discipline. As a chaplain of Pima County Sheriff's Department, I get to go to the place where what is reported as a... You put it up a little too fast. It's okay. I get to go to the place where the domestic violence was reported. And the place is that domestic violence can be between husband and wife, and brothers and sisters, and parents and children. No matter how you cut it, it's ugly. It's not pretty. It's not nice. There's a huge difference between abuse that tears down the child's spirit and discipline that builds up his character. Abuse is unfair and extreme and degrading. It's usually harsh and unnecessarily long and totally inappropriate. When you drag your children's feelings through the emotional mud and kick them while they are down spiritually or emotionally, you are not making them to be good. Building their character. You're being abusive. The result of abuse often leaves emotional scars, if not physical ones, and that lasts a lifetime. Abuse does not grow out of love, but it comes from the hatred. Discipline, in the meanwhile, discipline is a fair, fitting, and uphold the child's dignity. Discipline is built on the foundation of justice and the fairness, and it's a biblical. It is not abstract. The child should have a good idea of a punishment that will be dished out if the parental authority willfully and defiantly violated. This form of correction is actually strengthening child's character rather than shatters. Discipline is rooted in the proper motivation, love, and genuine concern. Not in anger and expedience. That's why the best not to discipline your child with an anger. You agree? When you're mad at the child, you can mad at the child because when they do wrong thing, it is only normal for you to mad at them. But if you're mad at them, do not discipline the child at that time. Go in the back of your house and read the Bible or pray or do something. Not at that time. Second thing I find is that between the crushing and shaping, chapter 15 and 13. Proverbs 15:13, please. Verse 13 says, "Merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by a sorrow of heart of the heart, the spirit is broken." This verse paints a vivid contrast between the spirit that has been shaped and the one that has been crushed. The ultimate goal of discipline is to build up your children with direction and confidence, giving them a strong and secure and godly character that will carry them through life. Discipline builds the child's character, but abuse tears them down. Third thing I find is between natural childishness and willful defiance. Childishness and willful defiance. I believe that every child needs a space to which to learn, make a mistake, and develop his or her own character within the proper limit. As a parent, it is important for you to distinguish between childish irresponsibility and willful and defiant behavior. Let me make an example. A child should not be punished and spanked for the behavior which is not willful defiance. If the child forget to feed the dog, or take out the garbage, or to forget to make a bed, a clean room, or forget his lose his bike, that's childish irresponsibility. He should not be punished as a defiance against you. However, when you talk to that child, don't do this kind of thing again. And if he says, "I'm going to do it anyway because I feel like it," guess what? He just changed from childish irresponsibility to what? Defiance. Then, yeah, that's a different story. Childish irresponsibility is very different from the willful defiance and should be handled more patiently. I have several suggestions to make to you, mom and dad and grandpa and grandpa and brothers and sisters, whoever you are, and for you to consider this. First one is a start early. Start early. Let's go to verse 13:24 again. 13:24. "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him discipline him promptly." Note the word "promptly." It's a colorful background word in Hebrew. Originally, it is shachar, S-H-A-C-H-A-R, shachar. By the way, in Hebrew word, there's a lot of sound instead of like a clearing throat, just for extra note in no charge. It means dawn and early morning. Later, it evolves into the idea of pursuing something all in life, like a career, and thus comes to mean with the determination or with the diligence. Folks, association of the diligence with the discipline indicate that we should start disciplining our children early in our in their lives. The longer you wait to begin the process, the more difficult it will become. Next verse, put it up for me, please. Okay. I really wanted to have the New Living Translation there. Okay, I'll just read it to you. New King James Version is good, but it does not have a right word for me, in my opinion. So I'll just read it to you. "Discipline your children while there is hope. If you don't, you will ruin their lives." Make sense? I know that when you look at your baby's beautiful angelic face, and you have to wonder, is it true? For the Bible says everyone is born with a sin, maybe exception of mine. Until he starts to scream bloody murder because he's hungry or he's dirty and throwing fits at everybody. And you have to agree with the Bible. Yeah, all humans are wicked above all things. One time I was flying to Los Angeles from here a couple of years ago. I sat across the aisle from the mom and the child, about three or four. I don't know why I always end up in the near the child. Maybe it's a guy's way to say, I'm going to test your patience. This child is about 4 to 5 years old. When the seatbelt sign was on, guess what he did? He sat as he stood right on the top of the seat. And like this. And when the stewardess came by, and you need to sit down, he started to scream. I mean, that plane was, one of those a little bit bigger than puddle jumper. Everybody had to stick their hands out and wave real hard to fly somewhere. See, it was like a small plane, and he was screaming hard. Okay, mom, probably she's used to with his screaming, so she was oblivious. He was reading a book and listening to music, and the rest of us biting our nails and doing thinking, what do we do with this child? So we threw him out of the plane. No, we couldn't. So, well, probably most of us thought about it. When you look around in a public place with your child, when you're with a child, and you look around, and if the people around you is looking at you with that look, you just have to realize your child has become a monster because you do not discipline the child. And you become slave of the child. Have you ever seen those children? When you go to Walmart or Walgreens, and they are screaming, you can hear them from the other side of the Walmart. And you know exactly what the parents is doing. Nothing. Shopping. They don't control the child. Second thing is stay balanced. Stay balanced. Balance is what the children from the falling off their bicycle and skinning their knees. Balance also keeps the parents from the crashing when it comes to the discipline. Two kinds of discipline are mentioned in the Bible. One is a physical, the other one is verbal. Both complement each other and both must be kept in balance. First one, physical balance, physical discipline. Proverbs 22:15. Are you with me so far? You disagree? Any of you disagree? Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction will drive it far from it. This Chinese proverb, by end of the day, whip your child. You may not know why you're whipping the child, but the child knows exactly why he's being whipped. See, they know when they do something wrong, but they are very good at hiding. Didn't we do that same thing? Yeah, we did. The rod indicates the infliction of pain. It is important for you to convince your child that his wrongdoing results in pain. In addition to that, the Lord graciously provides extra padding on your child's behind that he can feel the pain without getting hurt. Yes, I'm talking about corporal punishment. Yes, I'm talking about spanking. Yes, I'm talking about hurting them. Why is it necessary? Because God says so. Some of you guys may disagree. But if you disagree with me for this issue, you're not disagreeing with me. You're disagreeing with God. So go talk to God. Okay? If your child has ever touched a hot stove, let me put it this way. Let's say this is your hot stove, and the child touched the hot stove. What does he feel? Pain. Does it destroy his character? Does it make him violent? It makes him to remember, if I touch hot stove, hot means pain. That gives a great lesson for the child. Don't touch it again. So, when your child is doing something wrong, and you discipline the child because he did it wrong, and he would think next time, okay, if I do this, I get boom boom on my behind. That hurt. I don't like it. So what do? I don't do it. Child will remember the consequences of his bad behavior with pain. He will not to do it. And it does not make him violent. It does not make him to be destroyed because you tell him not to do it. They merely acquaint him with the reality. In like manner, appropriate spanking from the loving parents provide the same service. And that's the same thing what our God does to us. When we do something wrong, what does he do to us? He disciplines us. He spanks us. How many of you guys have been spanked by God? I get so often I have a line here. When you do not allow your child to suffer the consequences of his action, you are robbing him of the ability to live godly and respected life. Another thing that you need to remember is a verbal discipline. Verbal discipline. Proverbs chapter 3. Junior, would you grab my bottle for me, please? My Baba. Verse 11. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction, for whom the Lord loves. Thank you. He corrects and just as a father, the son in whom he delights. While growing up, many of us came to the association of the word, the discipline, but with only one concept. What do you think? Punishment, right? Discipline means punishment. Usually, you hear that dreaded word from your mom, wait until your dad comes home. And you think, my life is over. I might as well go dig the ground 6 feet and might put myself in there. But biblical discipline is a correction. Let me say one more time. Biblical discipline is a correction. It means that the pattern of a child's behavior must be changed by the instruction in righteousness. He must be shown the error of his way, then directed to the proper path. This requires explanation and instruction. Biblical discipline demands word. You cannot just spank the child. You have to explain to the child why you spank the child. Correction is not tongue lashing with a cutting remark that degrades the character. I've seen parents literally calling their child in public place, "You stupid idiot." I thought, how would you like to be called like that from your parents? That's totally uncalled for. It's not tongue-lashing. It is a verbal instruction arising out of a genuine and deep love for the child. Too many parents rely on the punishment alone to discipline their children. But doing that, they are neglecting to give the kids the assistance they need in understanding and applying the God's word to their lives. When they do something wrong, show it from the Bible and explain to them from the word of God why they are doing wrong. At the same time, if they are obedient and they do what you ask them to do, let them know how proud of you are of them. Encourage them. Reward them. I'm not asking you to take them out to buy another toy each time they do something right. Let them know you appreciate it. Let them know that you care about what they did and you understand that they're taking extra step to do what is right. How well prepared are you to shape your children's will with the wisdom of God's word? Are you training them in the way they should go, or punishing them for going in the way of they shouldn't? You have to decide. If you are going to teach them, you have to teach them everything according to the word of God. Don't go by this new fad that shows up in the child psychologist. That cannot be trusted. The book of Proverbs is loaded with wisdom, nugget of wisdom to help the train in righteousness and discipline your children. Third thing is be consistent. Be consistent. I've seen many parents threaten their children with a discipline when their children do not behave properly, but they never follow through. They said, you're going to go home, you're going to get spanked, and then nothing follow through. Or parents blow their discipline out of proportion for the small problem while they do not discipline their children for the big things. They don't do anything. These children get the message that their parents are not consistent and they would push them as far as they can. They know. They know how to push. To prevent this, here's a few suggestions I'd like you to take a note. Number one, make sure the rules are known beforehand. You cannot make rules as you go along. Okay? Let them know in advance, beforehand. Number two, discipline privately. Discipline privately. Let's say your boy throwing fit in the Walmart. First of all, you don't whack him on the behind in the middle of the Walmart floor. Most likely, you will be charged with the child abuse. So take him to your car. Turn the air conditioning on, or turn the heater on. You know you're going to spend some time there. Discipline your child privately. Do not embarrass your child in front of others, especially their friends. Do not embarrass them. Number three, explain the violation and its consequences. You have to explain to them their level. Number four, administer the rod soundly. If you're going to spank them, you have to spank them enough, hard enough for them to feel the pain. You cannot just spank them like here, like this, and okay, we are done. They don't get it. Number five, tenderly hold your child after the spanking. Tenderly hold your child. Number six, assure your child of your love and concern. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, maybe I'll tell my child that it hurts me more than it hurts you. Probably your child is thinking, no, it doesn't. Fourth suggestion I'd like to make to you is be parents, not friends. It's very important. Be parents, not friends. Don't try to be a child's friend by allowing them to do whatever they want. Your God-given role is being a parent, not a friend. If you love your children enough to discipline according to God's way, your child will respect you and cherish the relationship he has with you in most cases. I said most cases. Because there are some kids, some children, that are totally bent on evil. They will not. When you discipline them, they will not listen to you. They will go other direction. That's just the character. Nothing you can do about it. If your family is a blended family, listen up. Over half of the American people's marriage, a family is a blended family. And Christian family is not much different. If you have a blended family, I highly suggest that you discipline your own biological children. The reason why I say that is because if you are disciplining your spouse's child, the first thing the child will say, you're not my mom, you're not my dad. Truly, it's hard to overcome that. So let your spouse discipline his or her own child. And you have to do it with total agreement. You have to do it in total agreement. Remember what I said last week. Your children can not only read books, but also they can read your looks. If you are in disagreement and you show that on your face, the child will take a cue. This brings to the next point. Number 5 is be in agreement. Am I making sense to you so far? Be in agreement. Do not express your disagreement against your spouse's discipline for their child. Go back to the blended family. Your priority should be God first, your spouse, and your child. You follow? Okay, you went through divorce. The spouse is gone. Your child come up to the second level. When you get married and you have a blended family, child position level should go down because your spouse comes again. God, spouse, and your child. Even your own blood child. Even your own biological child. Do not express your disagreement against your spouse's discipline for the child. And as I said, the child will take a cue. And children know and utilize simple tactic known as divide and conquer. You know what they say. But mom says, but dad says, I can do it. Does the child really, the mom or dad said that? No. But he's manipulating. Even a 3 to 5 years old knows how to effectively use this against mom and dad, not to mention step-parents. So what do? You must discuss and agree the amount, content, the length of discipline to the children behind the closed door, not in front of a child. Remember, when you discipline a child, it has to be reasonable. You cannot tell your child, you're grounded for the next 2 years. The child knows it's not going to happen. It just cheapens your word, okay? Be reasonable. Discipline should be painful enough for them to realize it's not worth it to go through that thing again. Number 6, be reasonable. Be reasonable. As I said before, you have to be reasonable. Your children know that what they're getting is proper, and they will respect you for it. If they insist that they are older, if when your children grow older, it's one thing to put a 5-year-old child over your lap and spank with her. By the way, I suggest you to use a paddle or rod. Don't use your hand. You know why? The hand is to hold. Hand is to hold. Probably have 3 or 4 paddles because those paddles will disappear frequently. Let the paddle be the one to punish the child, the hand to hold. Okay? It's one thing for you to put the 5-year-old over your lap and spank it behind. It's hard to do 9-year-old over your lap. First of all, he's probably sometimes longer than you. Yeah. Or try to do that with a 15-year-old kid. It's not going to work. You have to be reasonable, and you have to come up with a different discipline. If they said, well, I'm older, I'm no longer 7, I'm 8.5, then you treat them like an 8.5, or you ask them, would you like to be treated as an older person? Probably the kid was, oh, yeah. Then give them more responsibility. And they will all of a sudden, okay, if I grow older, I have more responsibility, then I cannot meet those responsibilities, I get in trouble. I'll go back to 7. They will think differently. You have to outsmart them according to the Word of God. You have to treat them differently. As a child grows older, it comes a time when it's inappropriate to use the rod. If you are not sensitive to this, you will end up demeaning rather than disciplining your child. Make sense to you so far? Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We know that you're a great father, great dad, and you are a great God. Let us reflect your fatherhood, your parenthood to our children, according to your will, according to your way. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.